The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
I can't decide what's more painful, to pretend that Joe Biden doesn't have dementia, as every time he opens his fracking mouth, he proves he does have dementia. Or listen to Pete Buttigieg tell me about supply chains. Listen, Pete, if I want to know how to get Merlot out of cashmere, I'll ask your crooked ass. In the meantime, when it comes to making money, you've never done it. So if I want to know, is it baking soda or club soda? Do I dab or do I press? Then I ask Pete Buttigieg. But when it comes to supply chains, what the hell do you know about anything, child?
Talk about inflation.
Too soon to say. I think, this is definitely a different ballpark from what we saw at the West Coast.
Too soon to say. Listen here, you child, you moron with your Cindy Lou hairdo face. Do you understand how big this port was? Do you understand that even as experts talk, the 100 million that you claim a day, it could be much, much worse than that?
Brendan, I guess we're all just kind of learning here as we go, kind of what the economic activity is in and around Baltimore and the Baltimore port there. What are some of the ongoing issues there?
Yeah, so it's they aren't the kinds of products that we deal with every day. Like you said, gypsum is and construction materials. This is stuff that kind of comes in on a large bulk ship. Is transferred to a train or a truck, and then it's on a construction site. Where your new home is being built. So it's not something that goes through Walmart. So a lot of that now, a lot of that cargo now has to find somewhere else to go, somewhere else to enter the U.S. or be exported.
They have no idea how bad it's going to be. It could cripple things. And if you're waiting for a house to be built or an office building to be constructed or whatever the chain of events may be that are disrupted by a ship that hit a very specific pillar, a very specific pillar. In fact, if you were designing how to take down a bridge, you wouldn't have hit any of the other pillars. You would have only hit that specific pillar at a nautical speed that was perfect to hit and destroy the entire bridge. And then I would, if I was suspicious by nature, if I wasn't a child like Pete Buttigieg, who figures we'll learn on the job.
Issues in 2021, but that's part of what we hope to gather more data on soon. I will say, a lot of
more data. These are the kind of morons that wasted what, three times the money than it took to build a Hoover Dam, to build an exit ramp called the Jane Byrne, and took five times as long. This is what government looks like when it's trying to help you. In the meantime, I'm more interested about these so-called pilots and the crew of the ship that hit the very specific pillar and took down arguably one of the most important bridges in the Eastern Seaboard supply chain. I'd want to know, is this the same Sri Lanka in which all the terrorists killed all the people on Easter?
On Easter Sunday 2019, six suicide bombs exploded almost simultaneously across Sri Lanka. The bombers struck three churches and three luxury hotels, killing 269 people, including eight British tourists.
I'd want to look into this. I'd want to know, or is anybody who was involved in the operation of that ship, were they tied to the terrorists that have been destroying the quality of life in Sri Lanka since, the goat Casanova started to invade that area?
Prime suspects in the Easter Sunday suicide bombings. Standing in front of the black flag of Islamic State, pledging.
You know what that is, right? the black flag of it's ISIS. Same ones that did the thing in Russia. Is that the ones that we financed and started with Charlie Wilson's war? I can't ever get our terrorists straight.
Allegiance to its leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
There he is. Is this the guy that died like a dog? Is that the same guy, Squirrel? I kind of think it is, right? I'm not sure, though.
In a propaganda video released by the terrorist group's media arm, it appears to confirm the carnage in Sri Lanka was carried out by local extremists trained and supported by Islamic State.
What happened to the rest of them? Did they get a job working on a ship?
He died like a dog. He died like a coward. He was whimpering, screaming, and crying.
Sure.
And frankly,
that's what happens when you take off their costume and their hat.
Sri Lanka surely is waking up to the extent of Islamic radicalization on this island. The Easter Day terror attacks were a watershed moment in the history of this country. What is Colombo doing to fix the rot? It has adopted a two-pronged strategy to combat extremism and to prevent more terror attacks. The focus is on madrasas, Islamic seminaries where radicalism has spawned.
So it got me to thinking about all of the different things that have happened since Joe Biden stole the most important office in the country. And when you look at the 11 embassies that have closed, it's shocking how many closed that were the only bastions of freedom in these, what are they called, Sharia law? These 7th century Aloha snack bar yelling freaks who just discovered toilet paper last month. These guys, Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Burma, Nigeria, Sudan, Nigeria, again, how many we have in Nigeria? It keeps closing them. Haiti, all a benefit of having the most debilitated president we've ever had pretend to be the president of the country.
Folks, if America sends me a Congress that are Democrats.
What? Yeah. He doesn't know what year it is, what day it is, what office he's running for. Granted, he was a senator. And the Senate is a branch of Congress. However, is it just the fact that he has made a mistake? I mean, how many times are we going to rack up the mistakes of Joe Biden's mouth and deny the fact that he clearly has dementia?
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question.
Really? You can't believe? Does he have to come to the podium with his underwear outside of his pants before somebody points out the fact this stupid son of a gun has never gotten anything right when he had his faculties? But clearly, as he comes out today, again today, right after you get done defending him.
Folks, if America sends me a Congress that are Democrats.
Oh! That was the high point of the speech. He then pretends that what he's done since he stole the office somehow is helping.
Folks, you notice leading economists aren't making much fun of Bidenomics anymore.
First of all, there's almost a word in there. It's like 6 words all put together. But you have to remember, Squirrel, the dementia, eating the brain like Pritzker at a breakfast buffet.
They're thinking maybe it works to build from the middle out and the bottom up.
You're not building from the middle out. You're destroying everybody who isn't the top. And the top understands what to do. They just have to wait for you and Jimmy Carter to finally take a dirt nap. Because that's the only way this nonsense is going to stop as you continue to pretend you're helping.
And it goes down, comes back up.
$60 for a full tank of gas right now is kind of crazy.
According to AAA, Pennsylvania is averaging at $3.65 a gallon.
You know what that's called in Illinois? A deal.
That's up 7 cents over a week ago. It's up 14 cents over a month ago and up 10 cents over a year ago.
Now, the part that's troubling isn't that just the fact that the gas per gallon is up. The part that's troubling is that the statistics claim that we've never produced more right here in this country. So then why are all the byproducts up? And the reality is that's just some of the benefits of Bidenomics. We're just getting started.
65 to 70 pounds of food that these people are receiving, and it's all in response to these rising grocery costs. Las Vegas averages nearly $300 a week that households are spending on groceries, putting a strain on family budgets.
That's nearly double what it was just a few short years ago.
Sometimes I can barely can make it, sometimes 20, sometimes 5, sometimes 3. That's how hard it is right now.
I wonder, Joe Biden, is this the guy to the middle out? Or is he the bottom up? Because he looks to be going bankrupt, you stupid son of a...
Some say prices aren't only going up.
It is not the same no more. God knows, $20, well, I could ride a week off of. And God knows, in 2 or 3 days, gas is gone.
So next month, there's a high probability that poor son of a gun is living in the streets. And Janet Yellen wants you to know, this is all crazy. You guys are missing it.
So what I want Americans to see is how successful the president's agenda, which is not just a short-term agenda, but a medium and longer-term agenda that is designed to...
You know, Squirrel, I want you to look up, you know how my mind works. I really do think there's a link between menopause and transgendering, because I can't figure out what the hell she is.
To create good jobs in parts of the country that in many ways have been left behind, and making us more secure and bringing down costs for Americans.
She sounds like a pit boss I used to know in Vegas.
The president has indicated, and I certainly agree, that getting the cost of living down should be number one.
Here we go again. It's always... There's never any past or any future. You just got to wait. We got a 5-year plan. We got a 6-year plan. It's like listening to Pete Buttigieg. He has no freaking idea. Just say the same nonsense. We're evaluating. We're working hard. The future's going to be better. We have a 2-year plan, a 3-year plan, perhaps a 5-year plan. How long is it going to take? I don't know.
Economic numbers, about 8,000 jobs we think are directly implicated, and over $100 million of cargo moves in and out of that port a day. And what was the middle question?
What was the second thing you said before the other thing you said? This is who's running our country. That's why the whole fracking thing is a lie, built by liars.
Ballpark it when the port will be reopened.
Reopening the port is a different matter from rebuilding the bridge. The port, that's just a matter of clearing the channel. Still no simple thing, but I would expect that can happen on a much quicker timeline than the full reconstruction of the bridge.
So
yeah, just open up those back gates and take it all out on the roads. Don't worry about anything. And what does that do to the cost of everything, moron?
And you expect, because of those supply chain issues, that we could see impacts on the U.S. economy as a result of those supply chain issues?
We want to get a little more fidelity on how disruptive it can be. Again, we're not talking about...
So you're going to learn as you go, which is what you've been doing your entire career, even since you were dressed in those bell-bottom pants when you were washing each other down in the Navy. However, the fact of the matter is maybe you should look at the intent and what it possibly could have been and who possibly could have benefited, or if in fact it is a strategy tied to terrorism. You see, because if it is, the cost is billions upon billions of billions, thousands upon thousands of American jobs, and the destruction once again of the peaceful tranquility of our nation, although it can all be swept under the rug of the cost of having a Democrat in charge of anything.
The government wants to regulate madrasas in Sri Lanka, and it wants a stronger anti-terror law.
Sri Lanka has banned about 200 Muslim clerics following the 21st April terror attacks in the country.
Where'd those clerics go? Where'd they go? Could they be here? I guess anything is possible.
Right now, we've got two breaking news stories to bring you at 6:45. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans refuses to lift a block on Senate Bill 4. That is, of course, the Texas immigration policy allowing state and local police to arrest anyone suspected of crossing the border illegally.
So the federal government is suing the few states from actually protecting us from illegal aliens, not just the ones that like to rape the mentally ill. But what about these clerics? What about the rest of these goat Casanovas? Anybody want to put two and two together? I mean, I know in 1984, two and two equaled five. It could equal three, but it could never equal four, right? Isn't that the point of government supremacy? 312-642-5600.
Marxists, socialists, and communists are not welcome on the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
I mean, nobody even mentioned. You don't find it peculiar. You could have hit six other pylons. If you would have hit the one in the beginning, it might have had a similar effect, but only that pylon, only that one, had the kind of devastating effects that we saw.
Narangeli Yasawardena lost her husband and two daughters in the bombings.
I'm sure these guys had nothing to do with that, right? Well, nah, absolutely not. After all, they had jobs. There's a difference. John in Lansing.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a question. But first of all, I want to thank you for all your guests that you have on your show, okay. Especially John Campbell with the jab. But
yeah,
listen,
thank you. Yeah.
The Dimwit and Diapers came on and said, we're going to pay for this bridge.
First thing out of his mouth.
How come the...
Like every drunk from a bad neighborhood. I got it. Go ahead.
Yeah. How come the shipping company, don't they have insurance to pay for this stuff?
You know who else said exactly what you just said? Janet Yellen. Because the reality is this. We're broke, brother. Since the last show I had,
right.
We put on $4.5 billion. $4.5 billion since yesterday at 8 o'clock on the national debt that they try to pretend isn't there. So Janet Yellen is asked about this very question, and she basically says, "Well, I don't know. I think we're going to have to wait to see if insurance cover any of this. Why in the world should we cover this?"
So what I want Americans to see is how successful.
That's not it. It's the long term agenda. I got to figure out which one it is. But, you know, not even a thought as to was it an accident or was it intentional. The first thing they do is just come to a conclusion without any investigation. And now this becomes the problem of the people. So now what they understand is most people want to solve the problem rather than look at exactly how it happened. I want to look at all of it. I want to know everything there is to know about the crew of that ship. Everybody they ever talked to, any investor they ever had. Is it an insurance scam gone wrong? Is it an accident? Was he just a registered Democrat voter driving a ship? Never should have been. Or is it terrorism? These are some of the things I want an answer to. In the meantime, what does the administration do? We got it. We'll pay for it. I mean, this is how you know you're dealing with swindlers and frauds and con men, because they can't have people focus on the fact of how we started our conversation. We're broke. We have no money.
You're right.
We can't afford anything. Yep. We're printing up debt to pay on interest. That's some real low living kind of stuff. But that's what happens when Democrats are involved. You go broke. They have a constant problems, and you're always trying to help them fix their life. Thank you very much, John. I mean, it's unbelievable. How it's the first thing he said. I got it. Really?
You need appropriations, but the taxpayers be on the hook.
I'm not sure what the details are. We have money from the bipartisan infrastructure law that could potentially be helpful.
We do? Well, why do we still have that money left? And is there any profiting going on from this? How about other insurance companies that had a hand in this profit? You know, sometimes it's better to make an insurance claim than actually do the work. Just ask a Democrat.
My expectation would be that ultimately there'll be insurance payments in part to cover this, but we don't want to allow worrying about where the financing is coming to hold up reconstruction.
Well, the first thing you do is seize every dollar that the company who caused the damage has, and then we'll take it from there. Chris in Milwaukee.
Hey, Sean, it's been a while. Thanks for taking my call. How are you doing?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm good. Except when I'm on hold, I have like five more things to say, but I'm gonna keep it to what I told Honey Bunny.
All right.
Listened to the podcast last Friday. Did I hear the word anniversary?
Yeah. Friday was my third. Yeah. 3 years. Went by fast, didn't it? Yeah.
Congratulations. And like I've said to you in the past, you have replaced for me, Rush Limbaugh.
Oh,
and
baby.
You're totally different. You have a different style, obviously different. But your guests, just like John from Lansing said, are awesome. I will never, ever miss an interview. So if I can't watch or listen to the whole show on podcast, I'm going to tune in at the time when you do the interviews, because I have so many books to read. I've done so many, watched so many documentaries, and it's because of you and your show. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, brother. I saw another good one today.
What's that?
Epstein didn't kill himself. Did you see that? It's a new documentary. I forgot what venue I watched it on, but I watched it this morning. Epstein didn't kill himself. It's hysterical. Thank you very much.
That's funny. One more thing.
Yeah.
When I listen to the podcast, I'm a little put out, because every time I got to verify that I'm a human being. Sean, don't we go back a while? I mean, what are you doing to me? I got to verify who I am every time.
I know. It's part of the downside. I mean, after all, when you're done with the call, I have to remind people I am an only child. But thank you very much for the compliment. I appreciate it. See, that's like family there, right there, giving you those compliments. Eric in Marengo.
Hey, Sean, I just want to say, I want to know if the Chinese weather balloon flew over that bay.
I think it's it. I want to know everything. You want to know why, Eric? One thing you learn when you're around these half-assed, short-in-the-pants gangsters, nothing is what it appears. Nothing. There's profiting. There's scandal. There's a plan. There's a plot. I want to know everything. How could it be you hit that specific pillar? I was listening to an engineer. If he would have hit the one in the beginning, it would have been bad, bad, but not as bad as if he hit that one at exactly that speed with that amount of weight on the ship to take down the entire bridge. I don't know. That's not just a coincidence to me, but I'm suspicious by nature. I know a lot of Democrat scumbags. 312-642-5600.
He's Sean Thompson.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
And this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
You know, squirrel, what you learn growing up, smart, growing up among wise guys, the guys who always are spending money at the tavern. I got the drinks. Drinks are on the house. Those are bums or thieves that never made the money. Did you know that, Squirrel? Oh, it's absolutely true. So when you see the dimwit in diapers, I got it without ever asking a question. I don't like that. I don't like it one bit. Not just because Joe Biden, the only money he ever made is for committing treason on his country, for selling policies to communists in China, to scumbag oligarchs in Ukraine and around the world. But the country doesn't have any money. And it turns out, Squirrel, after just a little bit of probing, maritime law, since the beginning of really kind of maritime import-export, if a container ship does any damage in the port, any, they pay. So give these Sri Lanka guys a bill. And then the other thing is, isn't anybody worried about the fact it seems to be a hotbed for terrorism?
Some of the suspects may also have fought with IS in Syria.
The government said that 32 Sri Lankan Muslims went to join Islamic State in Syria back in 2016.
What happened after they killed all those innocent people on Easter in Sri Lanka? Whatever happened to that? And then we got our own problems here, right?
This morning, an illegal immigrant man is behind bars accused of raping a mentally incapacitated teen. Enterprise police arrested Pablo Mendoza after...
Oh, that's just a regular illegal alien. What about the terrorists?
Meanwhile, GOP Senator Marco Rubio sits on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, knows also this industry way too well. Senator, great to see you.
Thank you.
Your thoughts that four of them are Tajiks, and you just pointed out to me that they said they're attacking Christians, not
Russians. Yeah, that was the statement. When ISIS puts out a statement, they said that we killed Christians. They didn't say, you know, and to them, that's to the West. They've always hated Russia. They hate Iran, too. But I think what's important for us, beyond this horrible tragedy, which is what it is the fact that it took four people for this carnage. We've had 9 million people come across our border. 9 million have come across our border illegally, and it only took four. And no one can tell
Why would they be mad at us, Marco? I mean, after all, the dimwit in diapers gave the terrorists a country, didn't he? You know, the one that the American soldiers fought and died for. $9 trillion. What about that? Drinks are on. I got it. Scumbag bust out thief. Jeff. Byron.
Hey, Sean. With Biden here doing the I'll take care of it kind of deal, it's a question why that it appears that the container ship Dolly is owned by the company Foremost Group, which has the Turtle Mitch, his sister-in-law, Angela Chow, is the one that drowned in that Tesla. She's listed as the CEO.
Oh, is that a fact?
Maybe that's why the federal government's going to pay for it.
I heard that the crew was from Sri Lanka. I didn't get that. I know I read that, right? The crew, the actual
crew. I believe I read that also. Yes, sir.
So wait a minute. Let me understand this. So a Chinese communist ship is driven by guys from Sri Lanka. Do I have that right?
That's the way I'm understanding.
Oh, that seems wonderful.
On the website.
That's got to smell good in there. Thank you very much. Sure, it was a wonderful place to live. Tony Riverside.
Well, he stole my thunder, because that's what I was going to tell you. She was the CEO of that company.
But she drowned inside of a Tesla.
Correct.
In a small little pond on a private ranch.
Yep.
Huh. Was anybody from Sri Lanka in the trunk of the Tesla?
Yeah, I mean, it's just all, it's like a story you can't write.
It's like Epstein.
For crying out loud.
Do you know this? Do you know who hired an unqualified math teacher in 1976 who turned out to be one of the greatest connected pedophiles, scumbags, lowlifes connected to Republicans and Democrats.
I listened to your show, so I know that was William Barr's father.
Yes, it was. It was William Barr's father. Is that unbelievable?
I know, right?
William Barr, he's all right. He's good. Don't worry. He definitely killed himself. There's no question about it. All right. Thank you very much. I mean, it's just systemic fracking corruption. And do you know why, Squirrel? Do you know why all of this? Because they're stealing our money and they don't want anybody to know.
We're broke.
You heard it straight from the mayor. Houston is broke.
Well, he's just the only one to admit it. Because every one of these rat Democrat cities broke. Eduardo, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, thank you for the nice lead-in. Yeah, they're going to have, these firefighters are going to have to take a 5% cut. $160 million deficit. This is a top billing store here on Daily Mail I'm looking at right now. That's a shame.
That's nothing compared to Chicago. $160 million? Chicago would have to pay off $2 billion to get to that number. That's it? They're just $160 million? Who gives a rip? Can't Ken Griffin bail them out? Yeah, why not?
Yeah. It's a poor city.
Well, you know what that means? I mean, it's an admission of something that people should start to realize. These cities are only existing on the backs of government welfare, which is why this is the biggest crime syndicate in America. They are Democrat-run hellholes throughout the country. And Houston is just a microcosm into the problems of a Chicago or a New York.
April 2023, less than a year, gun charge. He's back on the streets. April 2023. This is what you call not a crime problem, a recidivist problem.
Yeah, but it's good. It gets you to talking about something other than the fact you like Houston, like Chicago, like New Jersey, like Philadelphia. Pick a Democrat-run sewer. You're bankrupt.
On an annual basis, we're spending somewhere between $150 and $200 million more than is coming in. It's very likely what we're looking at is...
Please. Do you know what that's called in Chicago? A good day. Tony, Melrose Park.
Hey, Sean. First time talker, long-time listener.
Oh, thank you, Tony.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely.
I saw a video, you know, as they say, seeing it for yourself is believing it. You know, believe your own eyes. Yeah. I saw a video yesterday on, I believe it was Fox, and it was different than the video that we normally see of the ship coming in from
the front
right to left.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one was from the left, and you could see that the ship had deliberately taken a right-hand turn because the reflection on the hull shortened up as it went for the pier.
Almost like he was trying to hit it, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if he would have turned to the left, he would have gone through the channel. Instead, he turned to the right, or starboard, as the seafarers say. Uh-huh. And you could see the reflection on the side of the hull shorten up as he turned, which if he had gone to the left or the port side, that reflection would have reflected all along the side of the hull on the ship.
Yeah, by the way, you're not really from Melrose Park. You would have never known starboard. They would have called it a Louis. But in the meantime, are you from the island?
Augusta, my friend. 17th and Augusta.
Oh, you're right there. So you remember my grandfather's auto parts store on 24th and Lake Street?
I remember my dad's medical practice on Broadway, as along with Tony Caliendo's law offices.
Sure.
But that's where I learned how to shoot pool.
Nah. Well, they only had one stick. In the meantime, I'm glad, Tony, you called the show. Thank you very much. What a great town to grow up in. What a great town. But that might be, Squirrel. I want you to put his number in the book. That's the only Melrose Parker that I ever heard use starboard. It's called a Louis. John in Garfield Ridge.
Sean, happy Kamala Harris Day, brother.
Oh, it's Hump Day Harris. Yeah, she doesn't know what to do now that she's celebrating with her underwear on. Go ahead.
No, Biden was real quick to offer up to stroke the check for that bridge. I'm hoping he didn't accidentally predate a couple of them from 2 weeks ago.
He was like De Niro and Goodfield. Goodfellas, drinks are on the house. I got it. I mean, did you ever see a bust out touting spending money, the infrastructure? I mean, this guy doesn't know if it's Tuesday or July. They should just say, you know what? He's got dementia, but he's fun. If we're going to go bankrupt, let's at least have this comedy show. It's better than Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I tell you something, but the Biden administration, you know, see Mayor Pete and that sideshow Bob, press secretary.
That's awesome.
I mean, they're licking their chops over this. You know, don't ever let a tragedy go to waste, right? Yeah. I mean, they got a whole new set of crutches now that they can blame supply chain, inflation, and everything else that comes from it. You know,
I get the broader point, but just do me a favor in the future, please don't ever do Pete Buttigieg and licking chops in the same sentence. Thank you very much. 312-642-5600.
He believes in freedom, capitalism, and individual liberty. And because of that,
he's become an enemy of the state.
He's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
Plausible deniability. The political mafia is built upon it. And the way that the system works is they just need you to go away when you have questions. I mean, think about how great it is to steal an election. One night, you just give the results, and then you make everybody who questions it the bad guy, and you move on, and now you're in control of everything. And even when you are responsible for the closure of embassies, for World War III, for chaos, for economic mayhem, the same suckers only have one place to turn. You! It's the perfect crime. The only thing we have on our side is it's obvious to the world. Joe Biden couldn't get a job anywhere in this country. Joe Biden is not only a crook and a failure, but he's sick.
That is an incredibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
Wait, oh, let me, no. You, Mark, you're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this. For the past several years, the president's physician has laid out in a comprehensive way the president's health. This is a president,
What? The world sees him soil himself every time he opens his fracking mouth. You want to lower the expectations so much, so if he doesn't actually pass out during a State of the Union, that's a win? Sorry, honey. The world is starting to see not just Joe Biden, but all of you morons. For exactly that, morons.
What is carbon dioxide?
I went to high school, but that's carbon dioxide is a gas.
Okay.
I'm not a professional to talk about carbon dioxide so much, but.
Well, you want us to abolish it, right?
No, there's always going to be carbon dioxide.
Right. So what is it you want us to do?
Let me
back up, because I mean, you're here as an expert. Tell me more about what carbon dioxide is.
I'm here as an expert cross-country skier who sees the changes in my winters and...
This is Greta Thunberg's second cousin, another moron who they parade around and say, I see the snow changing, so it's got to be carbon dioxide. This is the base of every policy. By the way, none of them work. Not one policy that's come out of Washington since 1912. Not one ever worked. And these are the kind of morons that are in charge of things or experts. His name is Gus Schmucken, which obviously is the basis for schmuck. Let's just call him Gus the Schmuck. Gus the Schmuck is a skier who's got hair like Farrah Fawcett. He's got lipstick on. He's all pretty. And he's an advocate for changing the entire world because the snow on the hill he skis evaporates. You freaking morons.
The landscape that I live in Alaska, and so carbon dioxide is what I see it as, is, you know, it's a gas that exists in our atmosphere. And what?
Is it the major part of our atmosphere?
It's a huge part of our...
Do you think that Gus knows what photosynthesis is? Do you think he has any concept? Trees and the principles and ingredients of green and life itself? No, this dummy figured he can get his hair done for free, his makeup done, and be real popular in a place he can't really buy the drinks in.
Atmosphere, yeah.
It's actually a very small part of our atmosphere.
Well, okay. But, yeah, I don't know. What are you asking specifically?
Well, you said we need to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. I'd like to know first if you know what it is.
And that's how you trip up a liar with a basic question. Sometimes even why. Don't laugh too hard, squirrel. This moron, this Farrah Fawcett-looking fool, this eco-Nazi, by the time next week rolls around, he'll be worth $10 million in policy swindles.
You want us to abolish fossil fuels?
I never said that.
You never have said that?
No.
Okay. What do you think we ought to do with fossil fuels?
What will we do with fossil fuels?
Yeah. Should we make any changes?
Why don't we stop calling them fossil fuels? Because they're not. They're organic. The only true reusable, renewable energy that man has nearly perfected to keep us warm in the winter, cool in the summer, to give us the quality of life that allows these children, these entitled, ignorant morons, to pretend to be experts as they want to send us back to the caves. 312-642-50. Oh, I have a guest. All right. I have a guest. Then I'll take your number. I'll give you the number after that.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
Forward Piven implosion of our principles is really in full swing. There's no question about it. It's hard to pick which is most successful economically or the idea of doing all things at once through the open border of Bidenomics and Biden's policies. I think it would be that one. My next guest is an expert in this field. And right now, streaming right now on Salem Now, there's a documentary that's put together by Veterans for Trump. It's called Border Invasion, The American Crisis. My next guest is an expert in this arena. He is a retired supervising special agent with U.S. Immigration and Customs, Homeland Security Investigations under the U.S. Department of Homeland Security while serving with ICE. He personally led criminal investigations into human trafficking, drug smuggling, and violent crimes. He is Victor Avila. Victor, how are you?
Great to be with you, Sean. I'm doing good. Thank you.
You know, Victor, it's about time that this be done. And I'm curious to know in your years past, your experience. Obviously, there's always been this circumstance of problems, A, with maybe immigration per se, that it was too arduous to get involved, and that there were countries that were actually abusing their citizens, and there needed to be a way in which they could find relief. But what we're really dealing with now is that seems to be the virtue shield, the smokescreen of what is really the undercurrent of what we're experiencing, cartel takeover of our nation. How do you see it?
I see it just as you just stated. We're living in an upside down and backwards world where the immigration system even the legal one is broken, but none of it exists anymore. This administration has done a job of combining illegal and legal immigration as if it was one in the same when it's not. And yes, we've always had problems. I worked the border all my life. And the big difference, Sean, back then is that we had this thing called enforcement of our laws. We were fighting it. We were prosecuting people. We were arresting people. That is out the window right now. That doesn't exist because it's not just, I know we concentrate a lot on our border agents and other agencies, but we always have to think about the Department of Justice here, who has a huge role in declining the prosecutions of these individuals. Even if the border agents want to do their job, which, believe me, they're not allowed to do it, and they arrest somebody, they still have to go through the U.S. Attorney's Office to get that prosecution going, just like I did when I was an investigator. And if they say no, then that's the end of that case. And most of these people are being allowed, not being prosecuted and allowed into our country with almost no vetting whatsoever. And it's putting us in a very vulnerable situation. We've seen it. How many cases more do we need of U.S. citizens being attacked, killed, raped, by people that are completely illegally present in this country? And there's thousands of them. I continue to speak to a lot of these angel moms, angel families that have suffered this. And these are real people with real victims that I always tell the people on the left, say, what are you going to tell them when you tell me that illegals don't commit crimes in this country? I don't need one more rapist or one more burglar We have plenty of that in our own country. Speaking of Chicago, I mean,
well, that's why
we have that already here.
That's why, Victor, that's the part I want to take. I could tell you from being a Chicagoan, now an ex-Chicagoan, however, I still am back periodically from time to time, that there is no tragedy devastating enough to make the policies of destruction stop. I could tell you that. Whether it's a one-month-old, a three-week-old baby that's shot in the head while getting fed by his mother, or it's a 90-year-old man who lived his life virtuously, was cutting the grass, and is murdered senselessly. There's nothing that will make the policies of destruction stop. But I think the problem is the way in which we focus on the fight. So you and I can reflect always about the way it was and the way it is. The way it was when I grew up in the 70s and 80s, is that there was not a qualified incentive to be an illegal in this country. So what you had were people who were really, who the country was trying to get, people who were fleeing hopelessness and oppression, and they did have to come here and do what was used and politicized called living in the shadows. But ironically, the people who did that actually became very productive because they didn't qualify for Section 8 housing. They didn't qualify for food stamps. They didn't qualify for the phony virtue of the government looking out and providing for them. So they really only had one option, and that is to be productive, to not be a lawbreaker, because that would bring attention to you and get you deported. So that system, ironically, was bastardized, or it was used as an example of how not to be. And it was then that the government, I think, understood how it could profit from these problems, because now you have the circumstance where those are the virtuous Americans and they're entitled to all kinds of money and benefit. And it actually grows the government corrupt bureaucracy while complaining about the problem. So there's no incentive to fix it. I'm wondering, is that how it's kind of understood in the bureaucracies? Is that how now Homeland Security and ICE is viewing it? We need these people here. After all, it equals more money, more jobs, more nonsense.
They have definitely normalized this in the last 3.5 years, which is a very, very dangerous path as we move forward. And as you say that, one of the words that comes to my mind is assimilation. I wrote a book and I wrote the word assimilation in there. And that's what's non-existing at this point. I also grew up in the 70s and 80s. And when people were coming, that's the biggest shift. People wanted to come to America, to the United States, and be Americans and right. Be U.S. citizens and assimilate to the community and to their church and be productive members of society, not commit crimes, not be a public charge to the government. That is almost non-existent now. Now they know that they're going to be taken care of in all these different aspects, shelter, health care, and even the criminal justice system. They won't get prosecuted. They'll get arrested and released immediately. On top of that, even easier because they're illegal. They get to board an airplane without any identification, something you and I can't do.
Right.
They get away with so many things. And that factor of not wanting to be and adopt to our culture, yes, we do have one here in the U.S. It's called the U.S. Constitution. It's called law and order. And that's non-existent. And that's why you see a lot of crime. You see a lot of problems. The taking over of the houses and the squatters.
Yes, I have the clip.
Issues that's going on.
Well, and this leads me to my next part of the problem. These countries that these people often come from, good people, let's just focus on for a second. The reason that they have the angst to get out is because the government itself has been so infiltrated, so corrupted by nefarious players in the country. There's a feudalism to staying there. However, what I can't help but notice is that is exactly what's happening here, because these countries like Venezuela, like El Salvador, like Mexico. Mexico is the prime example, where El Chapo bragged that he had given the last president $100 million. And they really operate as more of a cartel asset apparatchik than they do a government. And I'm wondering, is that the second piece of the puzzle? Is that those governments understand there's more money in being corrupt cartel members and helping them infiltrate America, giving lip service to American government, and working to show the American politician how to become an asset of the cartel. Because that's the only explanation I can have here in Chicago, where the Sinaloa New Generation cartel are having a far better year than 99% of the Chicago businesses.
Yes, and I could give you a perfect example of who is part of this aiding and abetting of all this. Is the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, paid by our money through the State Department, through FEMA, And so they have extended that operation, this well-oiled machine. And for some reason, you know, the government is never really good at doing anything, but they're really good at doing this for some reason. They're really highly sophisticated and well-organized to bring people into the country illegally, even when they walk up and turn themselves into Border Patrol. Let me tell you right now, all of that is illegally done with this notice to appear, these NTAs, these parole violations. They give them these parole permits. This is all done illegally, and these people are going to find out that they're going to have absolutely no status come November. And it is for many different reasons. People say it's for votes, might be so. Maybe people say it's to be counted in the census so they could get additional representation. I mean, if you look, I think there's over 15 million illegals just in the last 3 years alone. We're talking about 20 representatives in Congress.
Which brings me to my other point of what exactly is happening. There's something that isn't spoken about anymore, but it used to be. And it was this theory that America was put together by ill-gotten gains, that Mexico and the indigenous people were cheated from America, and they have a certain entitlement to it. So this isn't really, as it all is being sold to the American people, a problem of logistics, and they're looking for amnesty, and they want to become a refugee economically. There may be a certain aspect of these so-called illegal aliens, as I like to call them, or what are they called now, migrants. There may be an aspect of these people who feel this sense of entitlement. And I'm going to play you something that I think you'll understand how I came to this conclusion. This is a Venezuelan influencer. And I want you to listen to what he says.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States. Ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una casa no está habitada, podemos expropiarla.
He wants to appropriate vacant homes in America. Mm-hmm. He's calling on his fellow Venezuelans to simply kick in the door because they'll be protected, ironically, by American laws of tenancy. So he's teaching them how to do this. And then you reflect back to the Biden plan of giving phones. When you look at Kamala Harris, one of her first action was to go to these third worlds, hand out money and phones. And it's within the phones that the influencer can now reach tens of millions of people and tell them and school them exactly how to present themselves to so-called Border Patrol, exactly how to give the line of bull dung, as it's called in my neighborhood, to the people so that they can somehow get all of the benefits of just being here without ever putting in the system. But in their twisted minds and their contortion of history, they're righting a wrong. After all, they were cheated in the first place. Isn't that the only explanation for a Venezuelan to pretend he can appropriate property in America?
And you know what solidifies that is that it actually happens. They actually go to the house and try to get one of these squatters, illegal aliens, and they arrest the rightful owner. So they're sending the wrong. The Biden administration continues to send the wrong message. But I want to touch a little bit about Mexico. You know, I worked there at the U.S. Embassy, and Mexico, you know, is very high and mighty on their protection of their sovereignty, and we're not going to allow any other country to tell us what to do. You just saw AMLO, the president of Mexico, on 60 Minutes last week, demanding of the United States something that how dare he, right? Why? Where do they get off demanding of the U.S.? Well, you know why? Because they know that the U.S. is coming from a point of weakness.
It's a paper and tiger.
Just like you and I know it, they know it too, and the rest of the world knows it, and they're taking full advantage, and the cartels absolutely play a vital role, especially in Mexico, because they're running a parallel government there. Let me tell you, these guys are in total control with the movement of the people, the fentanyl, the meth. I was in Des Moines, Iowa last week, and they have a huge meth problem, illegal alien problem. I'll be in Peoria next month talking about all this. And so it's everywhere in our country now. It's in Colorado, it's in California, it's in Seattle, it's in North Carolina. You cannot pick a place and say, oh, we're not affected by this. Everyone's being affected, especially the smaller towns and smaller counties.
You know, I've come to the conclusion, and I did this after years of focusing on the problem. And when you look back to it all, Pablo Escobar, all the rest of it, I truly believe none of this could exist without the assistance of nefarious players in the American government. I understand you worked in there and you spent your career in there, and you were one of the good guys trying to fight against drug smugglers, human traffickers, and anti-violent criminals being allowed in this city. When you reflect back on the 80s, when you look at things like Mena, Arkansas, when you listen to the testimony of some whistleblowers back in the day who were disappeared, is there any question in your mind that this could never have happened without a blind eye, in the very basic sense of the terms, if not assistance of the American government?
None whatsoever. It, you know, we focus so much on the corruption of other countries. It's right here in the U.S. And I'm talking about, I tell you, in my career, unfortunately, I put two U.S. officials in a corrupt Border Patrol agent and a corrupt female CBP inspector in prison for that at that level. But absolutely, it goes all the way up. And yes, the billions of dollars are flowing, Sean, and everyone wants a cut of that, including corrupt officials within our system. And so it's naive to think otherwise. It's time to open our eyes and say, hey, wait a minute, these people actually have a role to play here. And this is where we have to kind of clean it up. And I'm optimistic. You know, I almost lost my life in Mexico. I got shot three times and my partner was killed next to me. And you see the world differently after that happens to you. And after so many years after going through that, I want to be optimistic and I want to say we will have the opportunity to still save this country. Unfortunately, it's getting harder and harder every day because they're destroying it as we speak.
So, Victor, tell me when you're going to be in the Chicagoland area. I know a lot of listeners are dying to meet you.
I'll be there April 17th. I'm going to be speaking at the Illinois Drug Enforcement Officers Association, and I'm looking forward to sharing my story and giving you the latest update on the border, specifically on the ground, because it's changing over here, Sean, almost on a weekly basis, whether it's Shelby Park and Eagle Pass, Texas, or El Paso, Texas, Arizona. It's shifting. It's moving. It's fluid. And I stay on top of it on a daily basis. And I want to bring the truth to the people so they can make the right decision, maybe at the voting booth, maybe getting involved in the community and making a difference.
You know, Victor, I didn't even ask you about the documentary. What was your input in the documentary?
Well, I'm part of the documentary. We do the same thing here. We take you on the ground. We show you the pictures. We give you a lot of information. If you go check out this documentary, Border Invasion, an American Crisis, you're going to get a good briefing. You're going to get a good overall sense of exactly what's happening, not just from me, what I tell you in the film, but we got other experts on there giving their information and their expertise. And you will come out of there at least getting a better understanding of what we're facing.
When we get closer to April 17th, will you come back on and remind everybody?
We'd love to. Absolutely. Right.
I look forward to hopefully meeting you one day. He is Victor Avila. Thank you so much for educating the people on exactly the way things work. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
Make money, smoke cigars, and live free on the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
I want you to listen to this. I mean, I understand it's in a third world language and most people don't understand it. But what he's calling for is not squatters' rights. He's calling for the hostile seizure of real estate in this country that the illegal alien thinks is vacant.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States. Ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una casa no está habitada, podemos expropiarla.
Appropriate the real estate. Well, that's going to happen in Democrat-run sewers by communists and Marxists pretending to be Democrats who are elected to office in ghettos. See, that's going to work, but it won't work everywhere.
Does your house belong to you? Or if you are not using it, can someone just come in, squat for a period of time, and then claim that they have a right to be there?
Of course, that's Ron DeSantis in Florida, but I'm going to tell you here in Illinois. Did you know, Squirrel, if you have a kid, a son or a daughter, and they're 20-something years old and you don't like it, and you're in your house, you can't kick them out like it was the 80s anymore. Did you know that, Squirrel? You have to go through an entire eviction process. That's if it's your kid. All they have to claim is that they established tenancy or residence. It's the same thing if some third world moron kicks in your door, changes the locks. He's a tenant. So the government protects the illegal squatter in Chicago, Illinois. in New York, New York, in New Jersey, in Detroit, anywhere the Democrats are in charge, which is why, can you really afford to own real estate where your property rights are not protected? That's why I love the fact that my real estate holdings, for the most part, really all, are in Florida.
This so-called squatter scam is something that's happening around the country. There's even videos telling people how to go in and take over an empty house. That was never how the law was supposed to work. And in Florida, we are going to take action today to end this scam and to protect the private property rights of our homeowners. You should not have anyone go on your property and take it over and then try to assert some rights. It's absurd. We're going to put an end to it today, and we'll be leading the way yet again in the process.
But that's only Florida. In Illinois, if some third world moron who got here yesterday kicks your door in and changes the lock, go ahead, try to get him out. What side do you think the Chicago Democrats are going to be on? Walt, Northwest Indiana.
Sean, the United States allows in legally every year about 1 million legal immigrants, which puts them on the path to citizenship.
Yes.
But the Biden administration is making chumps out of those people.
Of course.
And not only that, chumps of the American citizen.
Of course.
Because he's taxing the bejeebers out of us to pay for the goodies that these illegals are entitled to. And it's not just the southern border. The latest edition of Epoch magazine has a story about what's going on in the northern border. And the people up in the northern borders, like in Vermont and places like that, they're really ticked. They've had enough of it, because communities who were rural areas, nice and safe, they could walk day or night, are unsafe now because of these illegal aliens.
Once you realize, Walt, that that's the intention of this administration, to hide the financial collapses, the financial scandals, the misappropriation of funds, you're going to feel a lot better about reading this news, because otherwise it'll aggravate you. And your mind will say, can't they see this? Rather than what your mind should say. This is the intention. This is the intention of all the Chicago Democrats, New York Democrats, the Democrats from coast to coast. They need this calamity to hide their real frauds and their real sins. Thank you for the call. Eric Adams is having a hard time admitting it.
Same bad people doing bad things to good people. Less than a year, he's back on the streets with another gun.
It's not the gun, it's the scum. Because your stupid, feckless, Democrat, crooked asses keep letting out the scum, and it leads to mayhem.
10 a.m. hour, a vigil planned for tonight for NYPD officer Jonathan Diller. The 31-year-old officer was a husband and a father to a one-year-old boy.
How many George Floyds was this guy worth? A billion? A billion George Floyds. Yet nobody's going to know his name, and everybody knows the scum name. That's how you know the Democrats are taking advantage of the calamities they want to happen. Believe me, they want all of it to happen.
This morning, an illegal immigrant man is behind bars accused of raping a mentally incapacitated teen. Enterprise police arrested Pablo Mendoza after getting word of a crime happening last month. Sheriff Scott Byrd confirmed to WDHN that Mendoza is in the United States illegally. Authorities say that Mendoza had sex with a teen, and the teen could not consent due to her being, quote, physically helpless or mentally incapacitated.
And yes, that's exactly what happened earlier in the year, only he killed and choked the girl. This one lived. Fortunately or unfortunately, depend how you view rape by a third world filthy animal. Now she's probably got the measles on top of it. Dave, Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Dave.
I was wondering, so Tisha James, you know how she's real spiteful after Trump.
Uh-huh.
And then I happened to look in her Wikipedia. And she had an abortion, and she had a quote in there saying, "I walked proudly into Planned Parenthood, and I made no apology to anyone." And she was like, you know, proud that she had an abortion.
Yeah. Well, she probably the kid that lived probably would have not only been smarter, been more successful, but might have actually changed America in a good direction rather than the terrible direction his homely looking mother did. What my real question, Dave, is, do you have any indication as who the caballero is who mounted Letitia and created the baby? Do you know what kind of position that desperado was in?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, who's the real loser in this story? I think, Dave, it could be the guy. Thank you very much. It's always the baby in an abortion, but the scum Democrat women who want to celebrate murdering their own kids, do you think they care about the kid? But it does give you an indication as the kind of character of Letitia James, which is why she celebrates the fascism she's so willing to put on display. Greg and LaGrange.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
Wonderful. I love this story. Go ahead.
I love the story, too. Texas undergoes a hailstorm, and they lose thousands of solar panels and a 350-megawatt solar farm. You can't put enough emphasis on the letter S in the word stupid than you can right there.
You know what's awesome and about it? Do we know the money damage? Because I love the money damage. Because something tells me they're not even close to paying for that that boondoggle they just destroyed.
Oh, absolutely not. You know, they have no redundancy systems. They basically got rid of everything that runs the organic fuel processing that they used to have. Mm-hmm. And it's the complete twist of science and law and order just to destroy good, honest American people. And even those that come into this country trying to work, like the guest that you had on that was working for the Immigration Service, puts his life on the line for the country.
Shot three times.
And it's incredible. It's incredible. And are you actually telling me, it's absurd where I'm going to ask you this question, but if I go on vacation and somebody kicks in my door and they swat my house, I can't get them out?
You have to evict. If they change the locks.
6 months.
If they change the locks and come up with a phony lease that you did not sign, you would have to evict. Yes. Absolutely. It's a staggering turn of events. But you have to understand where you're buying real estate, who exactly, whose side the government is on when it comes to real estate or tenancy. Tenancy is a main issue. And, you know, it's funny as you talk about this nonsense about the solar panels in Texas and the fact that they didn't destroy it. Do you know there's two things in real estate you look for and you never buy? Do you know what those two things are? When a multi-unit building has an agreement with some half-assed wise guy gangster when it comes to the laundry, and if it's coin-operated, and if it's a third party, you don't go near it. I don't care if they're giving you the six flat. That's number one. And number two is if there's solar panels on the property. Because the solar panels were sold to somebody who couldn't figure out math, number one. And they paid $80,000 over a 30-year second mortgage that transfers with the property. And if those panels, just like in Texas, are destroyed, you could whistle in a windstorm. It means nothing. You'll still pay that 30-year mortgage on panels that aren't useful anymore. That's the swindle in eco-Nazism or gangster tactics when it comes to the only thing still alive in the laundry business, the corrupt agreements between multi-units and their laundry and dryers. It's a scam, the tutte scams. Thank you very much, Greg. We should almost do a real estate show from time to time. I guess we can wrap it all up. Corey in Woodlawn knows what I'm talking about.
Hey, Sean, you know, I'm hearing these individuals confiscate people's wealth by going in there and just declaring themselves squatters. We had on the books for years adverse possession, but you had to openly and notoriously occupy something for 20 years.
Correct.
And now these liberals that have been reading books like Wretched of the Earth by Fanon, they think that they're going to just steal your property. That's why they built all these luxury apartments in Chicago. They want to transfer people out of their property, and they want to get them in these luxury apartments that someone else owns. It's about ownership.
Absolutely.
And these individuals don't wake up fast enough, they're going to lose everything that our forefathers fought for.
But what I wanted to point out with Victor and what you're articulating and what we always try to put, they do this with the virtue of righteousness. See, they believe they were cheated generations ago, so they're entitled to it. And it's through that arrogance and ignorance and the bastardization of law and the corruption of government that they can still get away with it, but only in Democrat-run areas, Corey. That's why, are you moving the portfolio to South Florida? What the hell's going on with you?
We're looking into Tennessee, Dale Hollow Lake.
All right. Well, you would just let me know because I'm dying to meet you somewhere for lunch or something. All right?
All right, sir. Thanks,
Thank you, Corey. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
This is the Sean Thompson Show, where Democrats are always wrong, Republicans are seldom right, and politicians are never, ever to be trusted. On AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
Tenancy, all bastardized by really the Barack Obama administration. who forever changed the laws of property rights. And you know, not even the way you pay taxes in Democrat ghettos, sewers like Illinois and Chicago, you don't pay taxes on the ad valorem system. You pay it on the liability of the government, which is why when you hear these stories on Eyewitness News, Chuck Gowdy with his Amish lady hips and the rest of it, and you see that people are having massive increases, it has nothing to do with the value of their real estate. Because once the government establishes the overtaxation, you have to fight to get it vindicated. You've been harmed by that overestimation of value because it doesn't matter. It's not based on the value anymore. It's based on the liability of corrupt Democrat sewer areas, which is why you have to be very careful where you buy real estate and where you live. You have but one life. Don't waste it. Eric Marengo.
Yeah, just a question. As far as I know, you have to have two posted signs that say no trespassing before you can protect your property.
Why do you need one? That's number one.
That's
so number two, listen, if a third party creates a lease or doesn't create a lease, if some low-life scumbag, well, you're out of town, kicks in your door and has a lease and changes the lock, you have to go to court. Doesn't matter how many signs you have up. He could say they're his signs. There's all kinds of stuff. These side, there are no rules. The rules are when Democrats are in charge, there are no rules. Thank you for the call. Brian, Wheatfield, Indiana.
Hey, Sean, it's Brian. Hey, we're in Ponte Gorda right now with my family. We got my two sons here, my future fiancés, my grandson.
You got your sunscreen on? Because if you've been in Indiana and you went there, you're probably transparent. You're all burned up?
Oh no, I'm all tan. I look better than you right now.
All right, I'm sure you do.
But yeah, we're driving around. The Trump flags are out on the boats. It's wonderful. It's free. Everything's great.
You know, that's the nicest thing about it.
Just wanted to brag to all the listeners.
Yeah, well, it's hard. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to drive to bump into a Democrat, but you'll recognize them. They'll have a Prius. It'll be dirty with door dings. Thank you very much. You're easy to spot in Florida, rat Democrats. That, and every once in a while you see an Illinois plate and you know it's a Democrat. Glenn in Oak Brook. Are you back in Oak Brook?
Yeah, hey, Sean. I came to the event over in... So anyway, I got two things, one funny, one serious. So first of all, nothing works harder than a button on Letitia James pantsuits.
Then
the second thing is Eric Adams was really anti-immigrant until the FBI raided him and took his phone.
Yeah.
And I think now he's pro-immigrant. I wonder why.
The old muscle. Well, he was always a con man. Never trust an ex-copper in a $6,500 suit. Thank you very much, Glenn and Oak Brook. No offense, coppers, but you know what I mean. If all of a sudden one of your cohort shows up in a Brioni suit and he used to have Stacey Adams shoes on and now he doesn't, watch out for that Caballero. David in Lansing.
Hey, Sean, I have a solution to the squatter situation.
Yeah.
Wait till the tenants leave. Stake out your own house. Wait till the tenants leave. Go in there, change the locks, and then when the squatters come back...
You're going to outsquat the squatter? I like that. Oh, yeah. Good luck with that. There's another solution. It's called a cane corso. Cane corso. You don't feed them. You slap them around for a couple days. Then you let them loose in the house. Straighten things out. Scott Sycamore.
Hey, Sean. You know, I'm kind of confused. I hear all this talk about all these squatters' rights and all this other BS. Don't we have laws in this country called breaking and entering?
No.
And that you should be doing these things? I know it's a Democrat thing that we don't enforce laws and that they, you know, they just want to make more laws but not use the laws we actually have.
Yeah,
it's
but
it's just getting kind of ridiculous in this country.
Well, it is ridiculous. It's ridiculous where you have Democrats. What you're experiencing, virtually every policy is ridiculous. None of it works. It's kind of like Houston, which for 1 minute in political life told the truth.
We're broke.
You heard it.
We're broke. They're all broke. And yet they walk around and act like they can spend money. Whether it's Joe Biden, who, by the way, Squirrel, did you know this? When the government is the only entity that could ever, ever stop an investigation into this Maritime Act. See, if it was by maritime rules, the company would be liable for the damage and an investigation that could take up to a year would happen. But when Joe Biden says, I got it, all of a sudden, that investigation doesn't have to happen. So once again, it's another cover-up with the phony phony grace of virtue. He just wants to get it back, does he? Or does he want to stop an investigation? When there's a rat Democrat involved, it's a cover-up. We'll be back.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
I love talking to my next guest. I've had the pleasure of doing it numerous times. I think he sells himself short. I really do. He is now a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy. However, on his teaser, it says he served with five eras during our national security foreign policy boondoggles. I think we could easily call it six, maybe even seven. He served during Cold War, Peace Divided, War on Terror, War in Chaos, and now Great Power Showdown. I don't know if we could call it a power showdown more than the exposing of what a paper tiger we really are, as this dimwit in diapers has now been responsible for 11 embassies closing. I don't think it's ever happened before in history. Let's ask my next guest, retired Colonel John Mills. How are you, Colonel Mills?
Hey, Sean, thank you. Always an honor to be on your show.
11 embassies close. In chaos or cowardice? How would you explain it?
Well, where do I begin with this? State Department should be the tip of the spear. I mean, ever since, you know, the Dulles brothers ran CIA and State Department, I mean, things have gone downhill. They knew how to run CIA and State Department. You mentioned their name in an interagency meeting. The State Department people will just about pass out or soil themselves. But, I mean, the State Department is supposed to be the face of America. But the ambassador our incredible ambassador in Panama, Aponte, does nothing. The country is in chaos. All I would like is just to give them the time of day and not lecturing on alternative lifestyles. The Chinese are crawling all over Panama. It's insanity. In the Bahamas, I don't think we have an ambassador. I think we have what's called a chargé d'affaires, which is a French term, which means we don't really care enough about you to have an ambassador. And it's insanity.
Well, you
just
know, I go back
the time of day.
I go back and forth on the CIA. I understand the premise. I do. I don't like the execution, and especially when I look at, you know, the last 30 years specifically. Whose side are you on? Like that old James Bond movie. However, I will say this. To see the kind of failure, the kind of insanity, the kind of profiting by the scum, the anti-American scum around the world, this can be described to me as not just a failure, but an intended consequence of allowing a saboteur. This is sabotage. You close 11 embassies, chaos around the world. It's the great decade for scum. The Taliban gets a country. The terrorists around the world have never been more financed. The agenda of the Biden administration makes Obama look like a meek failure compared to the catastrophic failure that Biden is. And it isn't just Robert Malloy being brought up and hopefully disappeared because he was an asset of Iran. Iran has never done better. I mean, is anybody going to talk about the obvious success of terrorists around the world, no matter what their goat Casanova clan is, whether it's the Taliban or ISIS? I really don't give a rip. The reality is these savages are having the time of their life under the Biden administration, aren't they?
Yeah, it's Carter on steroids. I mean, they're just hapless and passive and just feckless, no matter what the question is. And, yeah, I mean, this is we got a serious problem with the Biden team. And, you know, the 25 Defense Department request, the fiscal year 25, it was disarming America. I mean, it's where We're shrinking Air Force to grow Air Force. We're shrinking Navy to grow Navy.
Yeah.
We're building a Gaza pier. This is nothing but a maritime or naval Abbey Gate version 2 from Afghanistan, this Gaza pier debacle, which hasn't even really started yet. But this is nothing but a juicy target for terrorists. The rioting angry folks, they couldn't care less. They throw our MREs in the trash. They couldn't care less about America. And, this is going to be the concept is interesting, but this is danger Will Robinson written all over it.
Because I believe the saboteurs are in our government. I mean, you know, you and I have had conversations before. You know, I'm not your typical take information at face value, digest it, and regurgitate it. I like to think about what's happening. And I'm wondering what you think when I see this ship run into a bridge in a very specific pillar. It could have hit any of the other pillars. I heard an engineering expert go over the dialogue of what would have happened had it hit any other pillar, none of which would have delivered the kind of impact that we saw where the entire bridge collapsed. So it hit a very specific pillar at a very specific rate of speed with a very specific weight on the ship. And it happens to be Chinese communist interest ownership and Sri Lanka crew. Now, I could be wrong, but Sri Lanka, since what, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they're the ones that had the Easter attack on the Christians with the bombers and the nonsense, infiltrated with terrorists, so much so they had to change a government bill so that they exported imams or whatever they're called. I mean, this should be something that is kind of looked at suspiciously, or should Biden just go down there and say, I have it, which in essence neuters any investigation. Is anybody else suspicious of this other than me?
No, and I think it's absolutely reasonable. What happens, and I've been had to go through a number of these investigations of matters, some of which have never even been made public. This is what happens, though, is as soon as there is a potential national security issue from a foreign adversary country, and I didn't even know we have, it's officially in Congress, but it's stated different ways in different parts of the U.S. code. China is an adversary country. I'm not saying it was a Chinese cyber attack, and a lot of the maritime experts immediately get grumpy when I start telling them, you're an army colonel, stay out of this. This is naval affairs, get out of this. No, it's absolutely reasonable. But the problem is, as soon as there's a national security concern or a cyber concern, this gets swept up into very high levels of classification, very small group. They chew on this for years, and then you never find out anything except for make sure you use a strong password, use two-factor authentication, and don't click on an email you don't trust. I mean, wow.
Yeah, Comcast told me the same thing yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So $80 billion a year for that, for our intelligence community. So you can have transparency and accountability with extremely classified operations. Those are not mutually exclusive. You could actually have both. But remember Johnson in some of the tapes, this is back during the weird days when everybody would tape record the meetings in their offices, Johnson would say, well, we can't let the American people know that it was, if this was Russia, what are we going to do? Cause a war over? We can't let the American people know about this. No. The American people own this country, and they need to know truth at all times. Well, and so sweeping this under top secret skirts and not letting anybody know about it. No, absolutely not. This should be absolutely on the table and discussed. And I'm already seeing indicators that's what they're doing is essentially spiking and spiking. Well, we can't let people know that China might have been doing this. I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to sink one of their ships? I mean, come on. This is no.
Well, this is why I have you on the show. Table. That's why I have you on the show, because you have credibility. I mean, 9 out of 10 times, I wouldn't believe a word that comes out of somebody's mouth who has worked for the agencies. But you work there for the same reason so many good people go into government. You want it to be the people's country. You want it to be transparent. You want to have a clear-cut mission. That's anything but what we've had over the last 30 years. The last 4 specifically are like no one has ever seen in this country, where the only people that have benefited from the Biden administration are enemies of the country. At a certain point, we have to start to look suspiciously at everything that happens, specifically when it's a huge news story. And I find this to be staggering. We still don't know who blew, allegedly, We have no idea who blew up Nord Stream 2. None. Wasn't us. We didn't do it. Nobody did it. Nobody did it. But we knew within 7 minutes who the terrorist attacks were in Moscow, which leads me to believe not a word of what our government has told me about those attacks.
Now, see, I absolutely believe there is a duty to inform. There's actually an intel community directive that actually talks about a duty to inform. I have no doubt that we actually attempted to notify the Russians, but two problems with this. One, the Russians are absolutely psycho paranoid about everything, back to pre-Tsarist day. So you could tell them absolute truth, doesn't matter. But, you know, but then you also have Jake Sullivan telling – Jake Sullivan has no you have to have integrity. You have to have people have to, you know, trust you. And are you kidding me? Nobody trusts Jake Sullivan. Much the Russians are already schizo paranoid anyway. And then you have Jake Sullivan. It's my duty to inform you that you're about to have a terrorist. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This is the worst possible combination conceived. Our closest partners don't even trust Jake Sullivan. So
I also find it troubling that there's no diplomacy. There's no call for diplomacy anywhere. In fact, there's the absence of diplomacy, or even worse, there's sabotage. How else could you explain what's happening now with Bibi Netanyahu and this new agenda by the Biden administration to pretend that there is a legitimacy among the Hamas kidnappers? This is outrageous to me.
Yeah. And don't forget, now, I was not read onto this during the time, but I kind of had inklings when I was in government that something was going on. Remember, it looks like we actually appropriated U.S. appropriated dollars under a covert finding to try to topple the Netanyahu during the Obama years.
Yes.
So this is again, we're at it. This is absolutely unacceptable. Again, you can have accountability and transparency with very classified operations. And I mean, come on, what in the world are we trying to topple a friendly country? This is insanity. Just because the Obama Bidens hate Netanyahu? No, that's absolutely unacceptable. And shame on the intel community oversight members in the House and the Senate for allowing, because that small group of eight do know about the covert findings. And this, if it's being done, is being done under a covert finding. So this is shameful. And then you live in Chicago there. So that's, wow. You know, that's Washington West, Swamp West, for the real rulers of
this
the country.
This is mafia capital. This is government mafia capital. This is where the Obama honed his schools of the Alinsky sabotage to profit. And that's really the way I see it. And the idea that we pretend that this country has a foreign policy agenda that is based in peace or the well-being of the country versus a play toy for whatever administration is in control of the government, there's never been a greater example or a greater takeaway, as it is 180 degrees away from the foreign policy of Trump, peace, prosperity, cutting costs, and really bringing apart tranquility and try to expose that to the world rather than warfare. Biden administration, to me, is a war profiteering machine. How else can I see it?
Yeah, no, they gamify these situations, and they're the ones, you know. Blinken said, we're going to have the adults in the room. Well, I'm still waiting. I can't even find him in the room, much less adults. And this is the guy who led the greatest election interference operation in history. And look, it's called Dimefill, the seven instruments of national power: diplomacy, information, military, economic, finance, intelligence, law enforcement. Yet no matter what the question is, the answer for the Obama-Biden team is M, military, bomb them. This is no, the State Department should be the lead, and yet Foggy Bottom, that's when we, when Project 2025 lands, as soon as good things happen in November, we need to start changing the culture, cleaning house, and literally closing down certain buildings and starting all over again, because this is a State Department supposed to be representing the American people, not apologizing, groveling, and letting bad people do whatever they want to do. And listen to me, hey, I've been in the room so many times with State Department personnel and worked so many times. There's a few good ones, but most of them are just bat guano crazy, and they couldn't care less about America. And if that's the case, they're violating their oath of office.
I was listening to what you were just saying, and you know, if you reverse that, and you focus on the attack on the American tranquility, peace and tranquility, you focus on the attack of the concept of law and order, the strengthening of law and order, and you look at the nefarious activities of mafias, government mafias, like the one that destroyed my once great city, Chicago, and now flourishes in the chaos as it gets bailed out constantly and never audited. I have to come to the conclusion that that is obviously the intention. The intention is to destroy peace and tranquility in this country while creating chaos in foreign policy, because I believe that Joe Biden is a saboteur, and I wish I shared your optimism in the election results. I don't. I still have questions that were never answered in 2020. Should I really be optimistic in 2024 when we really don't have an agenda of election security that I see in some countries I would consider third world?
Yeah, well, I'm a Churchill guy. You know, never ever give up, never surrender. We can't stop fighting. Yeah, I'm very concerned with election integrity. I think they're gonna definitely. They threw everything at it to steal the election in 2020. Oh, you're an election denier. Well, geez, Hillary was an election denier. Hakeem Jeffries was an election denier in 2016, and they got a pass.
Yeah.
We ask reasonable questions, and we're vilified. So, but they gamify the world, and they run the world by PowerPoint. They create a disaster. Well, 36 seconds later, they have a new PowerPoint. Well, now we're going to do this. You know, now we start auditing what's going on in Ukraine. Whoop, Haiti collapses again. Wow, isn't that interesting? Now there's guns all over Haiti from America.
Look at it.
Where are they coming? Where are they coming from? Is it Chicago by chance? And the Obama-Biden mafia in Chicago running guns to Haiti now to make sure it collapses even faster?
Well, I'll tell you what, Colonel. When the Democrats think they're insulting me by calling me a denier of something they're telling me, as I know decades and generations, if not a millennium, of lies and profiteering of policy, and your biggest, what you think is an insult to me, is calling me a denier of what you're telling me is the truth, I don't think they understand. You're complimenting me. You're not insulting me. And anything that the Democrat Party writ large, or the government, unfortunately, insists is the truth always seems to be anything but the truth. And I'm wondering, can you point to one circumstance in our foreign policy, in our domestic policy, of a policy that's been put forward, any policy by the Biden administration that works to the benefit of the actual American citizen? Because I can't find one.
Yeah, everything is unintended consequence. Anything that has worked. Now, let's pull out the executive order on cybersecurity for ports and harbors, which mysteriously came out in February. Guess what? That traces all the way back to the Trump days, and they slow rolled it. Now they brought it. Why did they bring it out? Yeah, they brought it out because of Volt Typhoon and the Chinese attack. But again, it's anything that even partially works, you could almost always find it traces back to the first term of the Trump administration. So they roll this out. They just essentially changed a few of the words of the Trump administration, the executive order they were working on for port security. And they, look at this. Oh, you know, they even, what are they're even ripping off Trump campaign slogans here.
Yes.
You know, this is comical. I mean, they are so ensnared in the ideology of projection. They can't even remember what they're projecting at what audience. They can't even remember. They are void. I guarantee. Any original thought, they just rip off from the Trump team and then say, hey, look at what we did.
You know what I'm still waiting for? I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me whose loans we guaranteed when Joe Biden was the vice president and he leveraged $1 billion to get the prosecutor fired. I still want to know, were those Ihor Kolomoisky loans or George Soros loans? The devil's always in the details, yet for some reason we move on before we get any. That's why I'm relying on you and the people of at the Center for Security Policy, because I know you're tireless in your search for the truth and the right side of things. Retired Colonel John Mills, you know how much I appreciate you coming on to banter this around. And the nice thing is, for now, we're going to do it outside of the camps. I think if Joe Biden were to secure another election, there's a good chance we can play pinochle and discuss this all in a concentration camp. I hope not, but I'll look for you if I ever get thrown in one.
Hey, I'm going to be digging a tunnel under. It's going to be the Great Escape.
The Great Escape Part 2. I'll be Steve McQueen. You could be the other guy. All right?
Thank you. All right, Sean. Hey, take care.
We'll be back with your calls and comments.
He will never negotiate his constitutional rights with the government. Live free or die on the Sean Thompson Show. On AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Disturbing footage posted online appears to show Russian forces torturing these suspects who opened fire and set fire to a crowded Moscow concert hall, with one being fed his own ear and another writhing in agony from electric shocks to his genitals.
Nice! Electric shock to the Johnson and the twins? Not to mention the other guy was fed his own ear. How about now? Anybody want to attack him now?
Hey, you guys feel like playing some baseball?
You watch him every day. If you really pay attention to his record and what he has done, you will see exactly how focused he's been on the American people.
He can't get out of a room without two Andy Frames and an exit sign. Stupid son of a gun. Yeah, he's fine. He's just fine. Jason in Melrose Park.
Hey, Sean, how are you doing, man?
Wonderful. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, man. I got my new choppers today, so now I sound like Hunter Biden.
Oh, you look beautiful.
Thank you. But the only difference is I didn't lose my teeth from smoking crack.
No, you got them knocked out in a tavern the old-fashioned way. Now, did you get them individually screwed into your head, or did you get the plate?
No, I got the plate, top and bottom. I do have screws. They click in and out. So I can, take them out. I don't have to use that glue.
I watched so many guys in my family. My mother went crazy. The plate was never right. She was tiny. Terrible. But she looked beautiful.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was in there for about 2 hours. He evened them all out. They feel pretty decent.
Nice.
Got to stop talking like Hunter Biden.
You'll
but anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be all right. But anyhow, I just wanted to make mention of the dimwit and diapers. It's probably full of feces, by the way. When the first thing he comes out and says is that, we have no reason to believe that this was any type of a terror attack. Well, that's a lie.
It could be. Let's look into it.
Right. And then on top of it is, am I the only one? I'm just a dumb truck driver from Jewell. I'm the only guy that figures out China's got Russia's back. We funded the attack on Russia on Friday. And here, a couple days later, a Chinese boat takes out our bridge.
The other thing I think you should start with is that the Chinese communists have given this president $30 million directly. And you can't describe the collapse of our country anything more than satisfying to the enemies of our country, which is the greatest gift the dimwit and diapers delivers. Absolute and total chaos to America, or success as it's seen to enemies of our country.
How historic his actions have been. And so I'm not even going to truly, truly, really, take the premise of your question. I think it is incredibly insulting. And so we can move on to the next question.
Gas prices and grocery prices, then. Big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle-class family, a working-class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for. You have to remember, when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening. There was COVID. There was the economy was in a tailspin because of the last administration, because of what the President Trump left us with. Now you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget, Russia's invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices of.
The problem with this, listening to this garbage, this lie after lie after lie, is it negates the first day of the dimwit and diapers usurpation of the most important office in the world. The first thing he did was make it harder for oil producers. The first thing he did was fire 14,000 workers to really lower costs of energy and kill the Keystone pipeline, aside from the border stuff. But how does Sideshow Bob understand that? She doesn't even understand the gravity of what she says here, or the fact that she's clearly covering up for an unfit, unable, dementia-ridden political whore.
Gas, and because the president took action, we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow.
And she hung up.
Wow.
I mean, Mark, this you listen, I am nominating you to get a press corps badge.
Well, he did better than anybody else. Not to mention, there's some other concerns out there.
And another top story we are tracking for you tonight, bird flu found in Kansas cattle for the first time. The virus is not affecting milk or cheese products on store shelves. They are pasteurized, which inactivates the virus.
Really? So I don't have to worry about the cows having bird flu in Kansas. Well, it turns out they're found across the country.
Tonight, federal health officials say they have found the bird flu virus in some Kansas cattle. The U.S. and Kansas Departments of Agriculture say that milk samples from sick cows were collected today. Now, this was from two dairy farms in the state, and in them, they did find positive samples of pathogenic avian influenza.
Also found in Texas and New Mexico cattle. Probably nothing to be worried about, though. Probably nothing. Bill, LaSalle County.
Hey, Sean, thanks for taking my call. I don't know if you're aware of how many solar farms are currently in operation or in construction in DeKalb County in the Sandwich-Samanac area, but there's also one of the largest solar farms is being proposed and is in zoning situation in Lee County. It'll be the largest solar farm in Illinois. Now, if you know anything about the land out there, the farmland is so good, it's the best in the world. It produces 200 bushel corn every year if the weather is great. And if you think about it, we're using corn to make gasohol, we're using soybeans to make biodiesel, and we're reducing the amount of acreage of farmland we're using. So where does that leave us for food to eat?
It's like a strategic way to not only drive up costs, but destroy the quality and the prosperity of American life, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is, and most people don't even know what is going on. I recommend everybody start looking.
Agenda 30?
To see what's going on in your community.
This is exactly what the World Economic Forum wanted. This is the delivering of equality through the world, through not prosperity, but through poverty. This is the strategic control and demolition of the American economy and way of life. This is exactly why Joe Biden was bribed by enemies foreign and domestic. So he's delivering. There's the one policy Joe Biden delivers on, the absolute destruction of the peace and tranquility of our life. Mark, Upland, Indiana.
Hey, Sean, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it, babe.
All right. Hey, I listen to you every day. We got three things in common. First of all, we both escaped the state of Illinois.
Yes.
Secondly, we're both handsome devils.
All right.
And thirdly, we both work two jobs.
Yes, three. But who's counting? Yeah, crazy.
That's right.
Crazy. You know, I got a skincare company I will not give up on. I love this product. It's doing great, but go ahead. I guess I could count cigars. Wait a minute. That's four. Damn it, Mark, you depressed me. Go ahead.
You win.
Go ahead.
I just called to tell you about the Bidenomics, what I've seen over the last month. Over the last 2 weeks, I received my homeowner's insurance bill raised 45%. My auto insurance raised 50%. No claims on any of them. And then my mobile phone bill, 20%.
Well,
anyway, I can see that Bidenomics is working for me.
You know what's interesting about insurance? It doesn't matter if you have a claim, because if you do, they're going to deny it. Then they'll deny it again. Then they'll defend the lawsuit. It's a fascinating swindle when you look at the profitability among the insurers that were able to stay in business through the Obama administration and now the Biden administration. They've never made more money. They're like the Taliban. It's interesting, Mark. Thank you very much. Nobody talks about the massive rise of costs.
I think voters have decided the cure for inflation is not Biden.
Yeah.
I think that's one part of it. And then
that's the only part of it. The cure for inflation is Trump. That should be his slogan, because it's certainly not this fraud or his propagandists who hang up when asked questions or continue to lie to your fracking face. By the way, those were clearly not any affiliation with Ukraine or America. Those were ISIS. Sure, we won't look into ISIS and how it got started. Robert Bloomingdale.
Sean, how you doing tonight?
Splendid. How are you?
You know, very good. You know, you're talking about this cows with diseases. What about the measles disease breaking out in Chicago and Illinois soon going to become a measles infiltrated state? And kill us all. That's what I'm worried about.
Oh, no, to me, you've already been vaccinated. It's not like that new nonsense phony vaccine for COVID. the measles vaccine you got when you were a kid, you're protected. I think this is the only way you could really stop the squatters. Measles. I think you should root for the measles. I'm pro-measles among the third world aliens, just not us. 312-642-5600. We'll be back.
Call Sean now. 312-642-5600. AM 560. The answer. Hey,
let's go, Brandon. I can so let me understand this, Squirrel. There's a guy out there in this country, in America, that looked at Letitia James and said, I got to have it. Are you kidding me? I mean, you want to talk about desperados. That makes Bidenomics look successful. Could you imagine she shows up in the car with that size 56 sport coat on? That's not a good look. I said, move over. I'm trying to drive here, chubby. Cream Puff Jim.
Oh, yeah, down in the land of cotton, Sean. Two interesting developments. The Democrat crushed whoever the Republic was down by 25 points. And Ken Paxton, who makes Mike Manning look like a choir boy, got off after stealing $500,000. They gave him a slap on the wrist.
$500,000? How did he steal that?
He's swindling him from his, you didn't read the details of Ken Paxton? The Texas, you didn't read it, huh? I don't even want to hear the sordid details of it. Then they have another another Republican Secretary of State in Ohio that stole $10 million.
You're talking about the sordid details of Ken Paxton misappropriating campaign money, which is the sordid details that offend you. But the Chinese communists hiring a crack smoking son, that doesn't bother you in the least?
Are you kidding me? You gotta be.
Yeah, you're all right with that. I love about Democrats.
Look at Trump's son-in-law.
A Democrat. But he didn't steal the money. He got a loan on 666.
Yeah, but they won't. He can't give it to his father-in-law.
His father-in-law is Bill Clinton's guy.
Listen, to
me, that's a win-win. You know, because they're Democrats anyway. If Khashoggi gets stiffed, then he gives them the journalist treatment in the back of a tavern in the Bronx. I win either way. I'm more offended by the fact that the Chinese communists and the oligarchs, who are recipients of billions of dollars of our policies, bribe the dimwit in diapers. And they're also blowing the whistle on the fact he has dementia. He doesn't even remember the sordid details of his agreement to commit treason to our country. Rich, Indian Head Park.
Hey,
Wonderful, wonderful. You all right? What do you got? What's something wrong with your phone? Yeah, it's like you're talking to me through a pillow and not a my pillow.
I can hear you really clear.
That's all that really matters. So go ahead.
Right. All right. What I wanted to do is talk about climate change.
I know when I wake up
in the morning, I don't think about climate change. I think about how much more I'm going to pay for gasoline and how much more I'm going to pay for groceries.
Yeah, and here's what else you should think about. You should think about how much more we're going to bail out the quasi-American car companies that took the agenda of the Biden administration and lost hundreds of billions in their eco-Nazi agenda as nobody is buying those EVs. Nobody!
John, there's one other thing I wanted to say.
Hurry up.
About these squatters, real quick, these squatters.
Yeah.
What do you think would have happened to these squatters years ago in our neighborhoods?
Well, the same thing that'll happen today if they wander into the wrong neighborhood. You think the Melrose Parkers or Elmwood Parkers are going to call the police? No. They get called on us. We don't call them. I'll be back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.